Well, here we are. Sounds like someone's in a car. There. Sounds like whoever's in the car, they just pulled up in the driveway. You did. That's what it sounded like. Go ahead and star six. That way we won't have be hearing your journey into the house. Well, once again, what a delight to be here. This is the second in the series of the three calls that we are doing with the intent to work with the energy of intention and the energy of manifestation, especially in relationship to the front back side of the chakras. Oh, it's hard to even name what we're doing here, but it's called Making Manifest Your Intentions in Session 2. There it is written right on the page. And the reason I'm sort of fumbling with the name of the thing is because it keeps evolving into some other things, but I'm doing my best to put the reins on it, only in the sense to keep the focus in alignment with what we're doing here. But, you know, my experience is when these things start to unfold, a lot of information wants to come through and be shared, mainly because people are ready for it, including me. But with that, be that as it may, we have an agenda tonight to pretty much follow, although we'll float to and fro. This is the 20th of January of the year 2015. Once again, we are making manifest our intentions, and this is session 2. So here we are. Let's go ahead and set intention and go ahead and create and empower our personal space first. And then I want to just do some clearing or bring up a couple comments about last week's session. Okay, the intention of the call, to expand the elements of the manifestation process, activate the solar plexus, the heart, and the throat chakra connections, reunite the front and back sides of the solar plexus, heart, and throat chakras, and build upon the foundation and framework that we established in the first call, and oh so much more. So in the spirit of creating a frequency that is aligned with the frequency of you and of me, we are going to go ahead here and speak our birth name. Just to remind you once again, it calls forth the original design of who we are, so we're back in our place of essence, in our place of power and clarity. It aligns us with those angelic energies and etheric beings, teachers, etc., dimensional beings who are aligned to the frequency that is expressing as you. And it also puts a beautiful cocoon, a sphere of light around you that keeps your frequency intact from influence from the outside. That way you can remain in your place of center. So let us go ahead and speak our first and middle and last name 7 times. We'll do that on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Mark Stanton Welch. 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 Mark Stanton Welch, Mark Stanton Welch. And so it is, and so it is. And if you, by the power of my suggestion, spoke Mark Stanton Welch, I appreciate you on that, because it's good to always have a little extra energy. All right, so let's go ahead and call upon our Tibetan mantra that has been around for so, so long, the Hung Vajrapa, and use that again to expand the sphere of energy that's around us, to keep our energy intact and protected, in a sense, from lower frequency energies around the house, around the particular environment that we're in. Because in these frequencies of wholeness, we can go ahead and do mighty work. And in the process of doing that, sometimes there's energies that pull on us and try and keep us necessarily out of center just from the moments of living. So this particular Tibetan mantra takes good care of that. So let's speak it 7 times on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Here we go. Hung Vajrapa. 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 And so it is, and so it is. So I invite you at this point, just become aware of your feet and the connection to the floor, your bottom in the seat, wherever you are. Pay attention to the environment around you. Tune into your breath, and just take a breath that pulls the vibration down into you, and let the chi and the pranic life force just move through you. Connect the feet, connect the crown, just sort of get into your body and be present in that form, because in the body we have our power, we have our capacity to be in our state of wholeness, and it is the foundation and the vehicle with which we can transcend all kinds of forms and make manifest that which we desire. It's necessary, in my opinion, to be fully in body, to allow ourselves to have access to all that we are designed to have access to and that is available to us. So here we are. Now, I just want to make a mention about last week when we worked with the Earth Star, the root chakra, and the sacral chakra. We did four different empowerments. We did the violet cleanse, the violet flame purification, which is something that you can do on a regular basis. You find yourself going outside and you get in environments where you know the energy is certain a little bit lower than you want to be in. You can really use the violet flame to cleanse out your entire energy field at any time you choose to do so. At the very least, when you get home, before you call it a night or call it a day, whatever it is, you want to go ahead and do your best to clean yourself off energetically so that you can stand in your own frequency. We did that empowerment. We also did the triangulation, if you will, of the Earth Star as the base of a triangle. And then the apex of the triangle was at the sacral chakra, with the root chakra contained in the upper quadrant of that, well, it wasn't a quadrant, the upper section of that triangle. And we invited the communication to begin to take place within those three particular elements, those three particular chakras. Okay, I never did that before. It was called upon in the moment, and we did it, and I believe it was very potent because I've been running that triangle a lot over the week here, and I'm finding that lots of interesting things have been occurring. Now, it's personal, just as yours would be personal, but let's just say that stuff got moved. And in the process of creating that connection of allowing the earth energy to move up through me and to connect, especially with the sacral, and feed the foundation of the root, basically stuff was loosened up. When we brought in the empowerment specifically for uniting the front and the back of the root chakra, which was another, the third one we did, this particular one invited us to transcend essentially the current form of time and space so that we would be able to clean up our foundational history, in a sense, to clean up the wanderings and the debris that's been around through incarnations and to realign our deep foundational connection with self so that we have the capacity to have our needs met based upon the choices we make. And with the sphere that we created and all points within the sphere were focusing directly at the perineum, we found that that activation was one that really created a very strong foundation. And then finally, we went ahead and bridged the front and back of the sacral chakra, which opened us up to the absolute flow of the pure emotional energy as it is designed. Not filtered through our own personal experience, but just the pure vibration of it. So essentially what we did is we opened a lot of doors. And at least three people reported to me that there was difficulty in sleeping that night. There was difficulty in lots of stuff came up, let's just say that. And the energy was sweeping through. Now, I sent out on the second day with the recording, I sent some information along. So in a sense, I'm being redundant on this. But as far as I know, everyone that had those experiences initially were going through some major just releases of some of the old energies that had been held in place. And in that process of cleansing, remembering to sweep it down using the Earth Star chakra and the plate below our feet, as we sweep the energy up from the earth, it cleanses and clears and then moves any of the lower vibrational energy out the right side and back down into the earth. We've got that built-in system of cleansing to take care of all of those things that came up. The greatest encouragement I can offer in any kinds of situations like this is to remember they're all temporary and that our opportunity is to really just be the witness. Because what's happening is the energy is moving at a very quick pace, and it's moving way faster than 2 years' worth of therapy. It's moving way faster than even some of the old Gestalt activities that were designed to move energy on a quick basis. So let's just say I've gone through all of these things that I put out here, maybe at the same time that you are, like the ones we did last time, but the other ones, especially related to physical energy, the movement of emotion, the movement of energy through my body, which can feel somewhat disturbing, especially if we've been kind of numbed out for a long time and suddenly we're getting sensation. The sensation can be an invitation to thinking that one has anxiety. In my experience, even though I personally carried around lorazepam for about a year, didn't use it, but I had it in my hand in case I did, I learned to integrate those energies and make peace with them. And in that process, I discovered that my physical self, my body, was talking to me a lot. And that the true state of being on this planet is one that's a bit more active than the kind of numb state that we've been taught to think. In other words, the body is not even talking to us at all. So I guess what's important to say here is that, well, let me finish, because I said to witness. The idea of witnessing what's going on is a supreme act of trust. To just witness and support the movement of the energies that are happening is to say that you are in alignment with the process that's going on. And we started to establish a relationship with the inner child self as related to second chakra, especially in that land of fear and emotion and creativity and the wounds of living that have happened so far. That little child gets reminded and supported and nurtured and nourished when we witness and we allow him or her to have their experience of release. Because ultimately what's going on is the child self is shaking off a lot of the old stuff that was never able to be spoken or was sat upon or was forced to be held within. And again, the beauty of these times is, although it may feel somewhat overwhelming, it's not necessarily to figure out what it's about, who is involved, et cetera, et cetera. It really is now just a matter of letting the energy release itself as what I consider the design of the body is willing to do. So, I believe that, I'm hoping that will go ahead and reassure you in the idea that what we're doing here is pretty significant in terms of its actual process, in terms of what it's intending to do. And that it is something that I've been through, something that I've walked through, and something I've always come out the other side. And as I begin to look at the overview of what it is that I'm offering here and what it is that you who have chosen to be a part of this are doing, is that we're being given collectively here an opportunity to begin to expand our view and understanding of this dimension and of our place in this dimension and of our own being, of the expansiveness of our own being. This expansion and this new awareness and the reawakening of information that is contained within each of us anyway is so powerful and potent that, in a sense, manifestation is just an offshoot of what it is that we're doing here. Now let me make sure you understand that. Although we are saying this is about making manifest our intentions, it really is about reawakening us to our greater selves. And in the process of that reawakening, with the bits of information that trigger the specific rememberings and the opportunities within each of us, the process of manifestation is a natural offshoot of this new awareness and claiming this new frequency of who you are. Sure, there are steps, and sure, there are pathways we can follow specifically to make manifest. But what I'm finding is that most often, the things we originally had intended to manifest that were so important to us will often fall away, in that what becomes important is that just the reconnection with self, the reawakening of the dormant powers that we have, the capacities, the ability to find serenity and peace within a world that is certainly worth the price of admission of any of these kinds of things. The stuff that we wish for, the relationships we wish for, those kinds of things we often manifest in the historical perspective, they happen as a result of us reclaiming our true vibration. So in a sense, the real intent of what we're doing, not in a sense, the honest intent of what we're doing is reawakening here. We're bringing ourselves back to a place of knowing that we have set aside for quite some time. So I, for one, am incredibly excited about it and delighted that you're a part of it. So here we are. Let's see where we're going tonight. We're looking into the nature of manifestation. I've kept a bit of the substance here. The first thing we're going to do is integrate the laws of the cosmos. And I believe I have those very things in front of me. Last time I did not. I have all my resources available. Tonight, just very briefly, we look at the law of resistance, the law of love, and the law of abundance, because those are instrumental in actually helping the manifestation process go forth, as well as just living in this dimension. And once again, the cosmic laws apply to all beings. They transcend the physical domain, and they work in all dimensions. And so they are laws of the cosmos as opposed to physical laws. Okay, the law of resistance. You become, and this is kind of a standard one for new thought people, you become what you resist. The focus utilizes a law of attraction to manifest that which we desire or attend to. Persistent resistance cycles the undesirable and uses up life force energy in struggle. Emotional attachment amplifies the intensity of the behavior or the situation or experience by magnetically requiring the multiverse to bring forth experiences of that which is called for. In other words, the more I intend to a particular form, the more I'm calling the energy forward through my own resistance to keep feeding the form of the resistance. Focus on the good or the desirable, what you want, etc., to magnetize its appearance into life. So it's necessary that we stop the resistance and practice surrender to let go, which then gives us a new flow of energy that comes in that the universe can respond to. You know, the physical world is a funny thing because oftentimes when we have a quote-unquote condition or something happening, we perseverate on the form. And we are taught to do so. We're taught to immediately medicate or separate ourselves and to numb out again so we can get rid of the symptomologies. In the big picture, the symptomologies are the natural call of the body and the body's own yearning to reach a state of clarity and clearing and back to the place of balance. It seems contradictory to the old Piscean model that we keep functioning on. In other words, the way that the male-dominated, hierarchical, disease-oriented version that is now transcending into the Aquarian, which is a very different frequency, we have the tendency through programming just to go ahead and believe that that's the case. And so we see resistance as a way to protect ourselves, when in reality the resistance is bringing more of the same. I don't even want to affirm this. It can be challenging, but once a step is made towards surrendering resistance, lots happens. It happens quickly, and our capacity to stop resisting and surrender and then be the witness of that begins to fill in very quickly. The law of love. Love is a unifying force. It is a foundational energy of all creation. It permeates all, and when claimed and expressed without condition, delivers the life of peace, delight, and abundance. Investing love in thought and action ensures reciprocation in the forms that appear for us. Self-love, expressed love, and the higher love for all creation are degrees of the substance that will lead to reunion and to oneness. Love is the fabric of creation. It's essentially what it is. When we think of love, we often think and put it into the box of personal love. In other words, relationship between two individuals or a love for something. That is only one minor expression of the large energy of love. To trust the love, to trust that frequency, is to allow a lot of the stuff to fall out of the way. And the yearnings we have, especially in terms of manifestation, in terms of love, is often about getting someone in to fill a hole. I want a relationship with somebody. I want somebody to ultimately kind of come and take care of me so I can have that feeling that I'm safe and I am everything is in control.
And this has been patterned by the music that we've listened to. It's been patterned by movies, by books, by society in general, by the institution of marriage, by all of those elements that we see over and over again. And it stems from the notion and the misinformation that we are incomplete, that we are limited beings. All the energy of these times that's flowing in is to remind us that we are indeed unlimited. And this really is involving a paradigm shift. And it's not, in a sense, it's not sweeping the planet yet. It's the reason why we have such a powerful, limited number of people on the call like this, is because not everyone's willing to stand in and let go of how they have done things for this lifetime and beyond. But that will change. It will change by the very work that you and I are doing here, because it's changing a frequency, and it's a very, very powerful frequency. Our invitation is to infuse love into everything, to view everything through the law of love, and to recognize that that is the force behind it. It softens any forms of experience that we're having. When we choose to separate from the emotional reaction and respond to something from a higher frequency, we inevitably fall into a place of love. It's a difference in a very mundane way of me driving over here a little earlier from taking something to Staples to get copied, and a BMW, which is only one sample of a car, coming up very fast and very close behind me because they needed to get somewhere very quick. Historically, I have a very visceral response, usually about second, third chakra. One is that I've been rear-ended twice by cars, so that's the second chakra, the fear that came up. And the other is, you know, get off my tail, that anger and that energy that comes up there. So to respond to it, what I was able to do was to acknowledge that those things came up for me very quickly, but I just moved off to the side and the car sped by. So that's just another way of taking a different different perspective and then doing something different with that, which you know. So let's go on to the final one tonight on this, the law of abundance. This is an abundant dimension. All is available to us by design and birthright. Abundance reflects focus and gratitude. The more one notices the infinite forms of abundance and expresses sincere gratitude for all, then the more the law of abundance is reflected in your own forms of living. There is simply no lack in the many-dimensioned universe. Claim it now. Opening up to abundance takes away the blinders that allow us to only look at what we don't have, or to yearn for something that we think is going to bring us the peace that can only come from within. In the moment of really facing and having nothing, to look out and see the abundance of the, in this case over here, the abundance of the ocean and the water that exists, the number of grains of sand upon the sea, the birds at the end of the day staring out and looking at the sun, the trees themselves, the leaves on the trees, the petals and the flower, on and on it goes, the incessant quality of the clouds, the amount of sunlight that, you know, again, I'm going to all the natural world, but the abundance of stuff in my house here that has such meaning to me. By holding that frequency, what I end up doing is making abundance just the way I live. And then the universe is bound by law to drop substance on me to support that frequency. So knowing these laws, and it's one of the reasons I bring them up, and again, they may be redundant to you, but in this context, it's important to realize that in the clarity of living, we are bound by certain universal laws that are life-affirming. These are not laws meant to control. These are laws that are meant to enhance and empower the magnificent experience that we have in this particular incarnation of life and beyond. All right, the second section here called Creating Fertile Ground, this is where I drop in some current perspectives and information,
And again, each of these is can be pretty involved, so I'm just going to it's really just dropping seeds. And again, you might be aware of these things, and it may just be a reminder of something, but the more quickly the more quickly we allow ourselves to let the paradigms shift, the more then is revealed to us so that we can start living in that frequency and still be present in the world, which I think I threw that in there because a lot of us think that if we get too woo-woo, as it's called, then we're going to lose our connection with the way things are. I think that's very contradictory and the farthest from the truth that I've experienced. There are certain things I'm no longer interested in, but as far as separating me from having connection with people, by witnessing, by being a part of the planet, being part of the dimension, it's as exciting and as expansive as it ever has been, and probably even more so. Because I understand things more, at least I feel I do. And that changes how things show up for me and also changes my relationship with them. So let's just look at this very quickly, the true nature of this dimension, which was one of the statements on Fertile Ground. And I was reading something that was talking about the etheric is malleable. The ethers is essentially the energetic frequency that surrounds us. You can call it air, but it's not really air. It's the substance. It's what chi and prana and the life forces are made of, and it surrounds all things. That oftentimes we begin to view the world as having a form and a shape, and the cosmos as having such. It's very far from that, in that it is totally malleable. Anything, obviously, that appears solid is malleable by the very nature of it being just strictly vibration. This is important when we start to look at manifestation, because we're so attached in history to looking at forms for manifesting that we forget that we are the one contributing to the creation of the form in a spontaneous way. And because the ethers from which substance is made, if you will, is malleable, it means that we can change it. It means that it can be changed, and means that that's what the process is all about. And that matter in a current form is held by the force of attraction, which is often based upon an intention, and an energy put into something to feed the energy of the attraction or the magnetism that holds it together. The oscillations of all things are the very vehicle that allows the change to happen by the intent that we put out. Obviously, we shall see that the more energized and spirited our intention is, the more force it carries to make manifest. Okay, so I'm just going to let that one sit and let those energies sit, and they will give you what you need to get from your own awareness of that when the triggers are happening. The universe is light-based and a force of a higher vibrational good. Life affirms itself. Resources are there for us. All is present to succeed. All right, so all I'm saying here is that this place is a good place. And the universe is designed to be the frequency of light, although there is the existence of darkness. But it's about a higher frequency that is creating an opportunity for life and for expansion and for reawakening and remembering. Life affirms itself, and all the resources in any shape, form, are all here to support that notion. In other words, I guess what this is asking us to do is to lay down the notion that in any way we are victims in this life. Because there's a victim is an agreed upon attitude based upon certain experiences that I have yet to clear out and clean up. My notion of victimhood left when I started working deeply and letting go of some very, very deep things. I don't even think about it anymore. And I believe that what's happening now is that light energy that is coming from this place of creation is beginning to infiltrate and disintegrate all of these misperceptions. And for anyone walking on a higher path like you guys are, you essentially are giving willingness on a daily basis, almost breath by breath, for these things to keep working. And the beauty is that they're working even without us paying attention. Okay. the impact of blocked energy on the manifestation process. I left that in there because I just really want to underscore it. There is absolutely no reason to keep holding on to things in the chakras, holding on to unexpressed energies. When you start to feel sensations within the body, trust first that what's happening is the body feels confident enough, safe enough, willing enough to let go of the energies it's been holding on for a long time. All that is doing is bringing you to a higher vibration and a higher frequency that just opens up the infinite possibilities. So to go there first is to recognize that what is happening is completely in alignment with me reclaiming who I am and you doing the same. So when I talk about me, you know I'm talking about you as well. So I'm just using that particular form. And then finally, the inner child influence. I really cannot underscore that. The idea that oftentimes, and we'll see a little bit later as we look at these chakras tonight, that the influence of the child self is profound from a divine perspective. When Christ gave the words that said, lest you become like a little child, you should not re-enter the kingdom of heaven, there was truth in that in the sense that that is the frequency of who we are, and that opens the keys to the kingdom. There's an innocence and a beauty and a wonder and just a playfulness about us all that when we get out of our way shows itself magnificently. This is where we want to be living in our moments. It doesn't mean necessarily that we're childlike and don't take responsibility, but in the middle of all that responsibility, we can maintain this beauty and this love of life far beyond what we've been allowed to. There could be a lot to talk about with the inner child influence, but I just wanted to underscore it tonight. Tools of manifestation. Again, I'm leaving in the idea that it's desire, and the desire is fed by emotion. The emotion itself is what gives the desire wings. It gives it the energy to begin to make manifest, and it calls forth in loud ways the magnetic energy that's going to be pulled towards making our intention manifest. The intention activates through the voice. Thoughts are things, yes, but the voice is what commands the ethers to begin to change their shape. It's done in the now. It's necessary once the statement is made to begin to pay attention to see how the results are taking place. It's necessary to make adjustments based upon those observations. And when we have achieved something that we feel is in alignment with what we desire, we acknowledge it, we express big gratitude for it, and we also celebrate and affirm the process that we had, because all that does is empower that process so that it becomes who we are and how we do things, as opposed to being a unique thing that only happens now and then. All right, I want to look more tonight. I wanted to work with the breath just a little bit and offer their four different specific breathing techniques that can be used in the manifestation process. One is a relaxation breath, and I'm sure you're familiar with it. And the other is the energetic breath. The other is connected breath, which you may or may not be familiar with unless you were into rebirthing or some of the other modalities in the early 80s, late 70s, then when some of the breath work that's being done by Stanislaus Grof, that's the name. And then finally, the pranic breath, which is a more of an etheric process, not to be confused with the alternate nostril breathing in the yoga traditions, which is a very powerful process in itself, but this is not what I'm referring to. So here's the scoop on this. Relaxation breath creates the receptive space from which you can create intention. And a relaxed breath is the idea that you slow down. So when you slow down the breath, you create a space where you are more receptive. One of the easiest ways to create a relaxed state is to use counting. And the counting is to create, there's four steps to a breathing. There's inhalation, there's the pause at the top, There's the exhalation, and there's a pause at the bottom. So you've got four stages in this kind of breath, and each one has a relative value to it. The idea is that you increase the number so that your breathing slows down. And in that play, through this process, you create a very fertile and receptive frequency within you that allows you not only to have inspired ideas, but also gives you guidance and allows you to open up to the actual guidance that's coming in from your own etheric beings and angelic energies and higher self. So, for example, if we were to do a 4-2-6-2, essentially what I'd be doing is breathing in. And nose or mouth, there is a difference. The nose is a calming. When you breathe through the nose, it's a centering energy. When you breathe in through the mouth, it's to grab energy and to create energy. So what we're doing here is breathing in through the nose and to go out through the mouth. So you're breathing in for four, in, hold, out, six, and then hold for two, and then start again. So in for four through the nose, hold for two, out for six, hold for two, in for four, hold two, out six, and then resume normal breathing. The invitation, and I'm already feeling, you get a little buzz. It's like the old vernacular. Whoa, I got a nice buzz on that. It literally is a very similar state to what I used to get when I heard about, you know, taking certain substances. Now, what I'm saying right now is that it's very quick and easy to go ahead and create a state of receptivity. It also calms down the body's response. In case you're feeling too much symptomology is happening, you can return to a relaxation breath, especially using the numbers. So, in relation again to manifestation, this is where you create the receptive state so you can create your intention and fabricate the intended design of what it is that you're putting out into the ethers. The energetic breath not only is based upon the time when you are low on energy and need to get some, but it really is about going in manifestation, about putting things into motion. And as you get ready to set things into motion and to begin to respond to the forms that are showing up, the energetic breath will keep giving you all the vitality that's necessary to do that which is before you. And the energetic breath that I love to use comes from Kundalini Yoga, and it really is just, it's called Breath of Fire. And basically it is a nasal breath, even though I said grabbing air through the mouth is a powerful process. This one involves diaphragm and the nose. Breathing in through the nose, and you're breathing in as quickly as you can and out through the nose as well, right to the solar plexus area where you are pulling and pushing with the abdomen in and out as you pull in the air. So it's like a... So you can probably hear that. In and out at a quick pace, and each time I'm pulling in, I'm extending the abdomen out, and then when I am letting out, the abdomen goes back in, so you can imagine this happening pretty quickly. We could do this for 15 seconds. We're asking muscles to do things that they perhaps have not been doing for a while, so we're just going to go in a little bit here. So, begin. Breath of Fire. Okay. Resume your normal breathing. If you can get up to the point where you get to a minute, which you can very quickly, you just practice this for a few times, you're going to find that you can get there. You will find that you'll have a resurgence of energy. Now, had I known this in the years when I was playing clubs and then driving home at 2:30 at night in the van, trying to stay awake with my head out the window or eating a Snickers bar, then my life would have probably been very different in those days as well, because I would have not necessarily had to stay up late or undo the effect of the Snickers bar at that hour or whatever. Okay, obviously we're going to move fast through these, and we are moving fast. You can certainly expend more research as well as, you know, practice with them if you'd like. The connected breath, again, is based upon the idea that there is no start or stop in the breath. I mean, it's just a circle. This is the breath that the infant comes in with. It is a breath that we all know to be true because we all did it when we got here. When the breath becomes interrupted, it's because life is happening to the organism. In other words, when things started to startle us, the first thing we did was hold our breath. When the breath gets held, what begins to happen is energy starts to store within the system. And at that point in time, the chakras themselves began to get compromised by the storing of the energy based upon the stimulus. The idea behind this breath and when it is used, ideally, is when you are starting to feel emotion. And you start to feel that emotion is beginning to sweep through you. The connected breath amplifies and, you know, encourages the full release of that emotion. And the idea is you use the breath to create the lubrication for that emotion to move through the body and through the system. And the idea is that you breathe in through the nose and then out through the mouth, and then in through the nose, out through the mouth. So we're going to do 10 of those breaths, and just notice if you start to feel differently on the other side of that. So we breathe in, out, in, out, in, out, in, out, in, out. Out and in and out. Okay, I just looked at the clock and I'm going, geez, oh, where did the time go? We're in an altered state and it seems to be the state is moving quickly. So I'm going to save the pranic breath for next week. It has to do with the notion of what's called the pranic tube, which you can look right down below that. And I'm sorry to be scooting because I really want to get down at least to the chakras themselves so that we can open those up. And as far as the songs and everything else down there, that's not as important in this experience as it is to get these pieces into activation. So once again, the breath will support all your experiences in manifestation if you choose it selectively, and including the pranic breath, which then will really just get us back to the point where we are basically chi'd up, life forced up, breathed up, breathed up, all of that, so that we have our faculties available to us on a regular basis. We'll look at that next week, and I apologize for that. Identify each chakra's role in the manifestation process. So let's go ahead now and look at the solar plexus. We already know the front side of the solar plexus is about, it's the place of will. It's where our intentions are put into action. It's where we make decisions and put those into action. It's the power center and the power in all of its forms. It's where we express and hold our power. It's where we give our power away. If the center is deficient, we lose our power. We are unable to make decisions and follow through. Well, we can maybe make decisions, but we don't follow through on them. We are weak-willed in a sense. We have hesitancy to take action. There's a tendency in this place to be, it's ruled by anger, and the energy of anger, there's judgment, criticism, et cetera, et cetera. All of those elements are feeding into this particular will center. Now, when we start to look to the back side, this is where it starts to get interesting. Because the back side, just a moment here, I'm referring to my book on the back sides. There we go. And again, this is Cindy Dale's book called The Complete Book of Chakra Healing. She's done it incredibly well. So chakra 3, the backside of this chakra, is really the intellectual template. Through this side of the chakra, we gain knowledge of things seen and unseen, and based upon our belief systems, tap into the energies we need to make effective life decisions. This is where the clarity of information comes into us, and where we get clear intentions set through this particular place that are then sent through the will center to be expressed out into the world to take action. The front side expresses will in the world, the back side accesses energy for the achievement of that intention. We can heal judgments, falsehoods, and incorrect assumptions and allow our drive for success to work for us rather than against us. It connects to the metabolic center of the body, and it affects our general energy level and drive. Let's see what else. It works on the center when experiencing energy issues, whether they're physical, mental, or emotional. Blocks in this center stem from doubt, lack of faith in our own higher good and goals. We can address and heal judgments, prejudices, incorrect assumptions, painful behaviors, and success issues. So you're beginning to see that the blockage that occurs between the back and the front is a result of not allowing clear information to come through. The information that is expressed through the front is the information that has been whitewashed, that has been fed us, that has been programmed, that is not in alignment with the true essence of who we are. And so it's easy to see how that will begin to clog up the tube that goes between the front and the back side. Our intention here is to reopen the tube so that we allow the flow of clarity to move through, so that our ideas, that our intentions, they can be in alignment with our being, and they can be put into action in a much more facilitated way, a more expedient way, and a way that will generally get much more significant and better results in alignment with our intention. So very much like last time, there's not a lot we need to do here except become aware of the backside, which is basically directly behind the solar plexus. And as you bring your attention to the backside, you're probably already beginning to feel an awareness and a sensation back there. Again, we're looking at what we typically and traditionally consider to be two cyclones, if you will, tornadoes, and where each side is oscillating and moving in a clockwise direction. We essentially are going to see where they connect at the spine itself, and that is the tube that enters energetically and dimensionally in between the two that we want to just allow it to clear out. So what we're going to do is to invite the energy from behind to infiltrate through there, and as it does, if you've ever done any candle wax, ear candles, you just see that the flame itself draws the wax, or draws the interference out of the canal and then cleans it up. There's no force being involved. It's strictly a dynamic. So in a sense, as the energy moves from the back towards the front, what is happening is the front side is going to, because it's the action side, will go ahead and just pull the blockage out, if you understand what I'm saying. It's pulling the blockage, just moving the resistance that's been there, transforming it into an energy that is released directly out through the front of that solar plexus chakra. Out and away it goes. And we're basically building a clear canal between the front and the back. And at the same time, let's go ahead and get the Earth Star Chakra involved, where we bring energy up through the left leg and have it sweep specifically through this center, front and back, taking any debris, any release of old energies out, and then moving them down energetically through the right leg, out the right foot, into the earth itself. So just let this keep going. And in the process of doing this, while you just visualize that occurring and letting it happen, I'm going to basically speak this particular song that goes with it. In the middle of the back lives the center where my thoughts become power. It's where my judgments and assumptions are refined to give me strength to achieve. It's where patterns form beliefs, where I create the world I dream. I find acceptance, peace, and faith. It's where myself authenticates, where I focus energy to integrate the light of me with the sun. In other words, it's almost the birthplace of my true self in expression out into the world, and that is what we are inviting here. I'm going ahead and I'm going to speak the statement, the proclamation that goes with this particular one. I'm down at Attentional Songs. If you want to join me on this, that'd be great. If not, just listen and receive. I choose to transmute the illusion that interferes with my ability to see my divine perfection. I command that all records and memories created to manipulate and distort my ability to recognize and experience the totality of my divine creation be erased from universal consciousness. I command that the illusion be replaced with universal knowledge that will allow me to know, see, feel, and experience the feminine and masculine aspects of divinity within. And so it is, and so it is, and so it is. So in a sense, the backside is the receptive side. It's the more feminine energy that's being brought in its pure form, and then it's sent out and put into action on the masculine side. So we're working in the front. So we're bringing both of those frequencies in. And so it is, and so it is, and so it is. So we let that do its work, continuing to draw from the Earth Star up through across that, and we move our attention now to the heart chakra. Backside of the heart chakra serves the portal to the wonderful playground of our soul. No matter what our age, our soul is useful because we are all children of divine source. As children, our soul's job is to explore, learn, develop, test, try, and have fun. The backside of the heart, when free, opens us to our spirit's true desires. This is really important. Because, you know, the second chakra is about the wounds of childhood and getting creativity back. This chakra essentially is about opening up a very pure part of us to express itself in its just absolute joy of life. And this is more what's coming out of this particular place, to open up our capacity to explore. And as it unites with the third eye, we begin to realize that our exploring, our learning, our developing, our testing, and our play, it's hard not to see how all the chakras are working together. But right here, we're giving it a birthplace for our own inner child self to be fully in expression. We're taking the infinite design of that which we are, coupled with just the nature of life, with the nature of the sweetness and the playfulness of life, and letting them all merge and move from the back to the front. And when that wash comes through, the wounds and the griefs and the things that are related to loss of love and the yearning for things begin to cleanse and clear themselves as such. Because they cannot sustain a lower frequency in the pureness of what's coming through from the backside. Through the backside of the heart chakra, we receive the type of support we long to get as a child. Here, the conditional belief system of lower chakras meets the unconditional belief system of the upper chakras. The heart is a unification place between the lower self and the upper self. It's a place where the holy is put into manifestation and brought into, where heaven and earth unify to create the unique form that is you expressing in the frequency of you in whatever moment you find yourself. Okay, it's here we experience the call of the child we are. This center will speak to us through dreams, out-of-body experiences, or guides such as angels who seek to steer us towards our true self and our purpose. So I invite you at this point again to feel the backside of the heart chakra, right in the middle of the back, kind of between the shoulder blades up there, and begin to give permission for that process to take place of the meeting of the front and the back. If you will, it's your little child self at the beach with his shovel digging in the sand. And you get the visualization of this child self just sort of digging through and intending to make a tunnel. And the tunnel, when they see the other side of it, will be the opening that's necessary. And what you'll feel is a sweeping of an energy, a sweetness of energy that moves and just washes away the debris of the losses. The losses are not necessarily impactful anymore because we're releasing the energy underneath them. All they are now is just a memory, whether it's sweet or useful information. We're intending right now to let the design itself and the pureness of that child energy wash away those energies. So as you do that, I will speak or maybe even sing these. It doesn't really matter what's happened to me, 'cause I'm a perfect child of light, I am. I'm always safe, protected by the universe, free to live and love just because I can. Exploring, laughing, dancing, singing, give me life, I want more, more, more. Happy, happy childhood, this is the moment. Frivolous, fabulous, give me more, more, more. More, ba-da-da-da-dum-da-dum, feeling groovy, ba-da-da-da-dum-da-dum, feeling groovy. So allow that reunion to take place. The excavation is happening. The child is breaking through to the front side, kind of peering through that opening and looking out in the world and realizing, you know, this is a good place. It's where I want to be. And we take the powerful statement that we're going to make in this proclamation. And if you'd like to do it together, here we go. I am love. I am lovable. I give and receive love freely without hesitation and without restriction. I am completely open to experiencing the cleansing and healing power of love in all my energy bodies, in all my moments, and in all my relationships. In my balance and clarity, I choose unconditional love in all my interactions. I love fully the me that I am, and so it is, and so it is, and so it is. And as we allow the energy from the Earth Star Chakra to move up the left side, still moving and sweeping across the solar plexus, it moves now up into the heart area and sweeps across to take any debris that's remaining from lower frequency memories, experiences, etc., sweeping them out down the right leg and then out. And in a sense, the opening that is between begins to regulate itself as we begin to let the child frequency express itself and be present. And then we quickly move our awareness up to the throat chakra and realize the backside of the fifth chakra in the throat chakra is a center through which we channel thoughts, ideas, and concepts from other beings, other dimensions, and other aspects of ourselves. We receive information through the back of the neck, and then we pass it along through our conscious vocal front side. Here we own what guidance we want and reject that which does not apply to us. In a way, this chakra is the fate center. We constantly select and then voice what we want to create versus what we do not. So become aware now of the back of the neck, directly behind the throat chakra itself, and you begin to feel the essence of that connection from behind. We're affected by the beliefs others hold about us, as well as our past life beliefs, and this it shows up in the throat chakra. One of the most common problems in this chakra is the presence of cords, energetic contracts between the self and other beings. And oftentimes you find that on the left side you have cords that are coming in at about 45 degrees that reflect the information from the mother, from our mother, energies that are directives, energies, belief systems, etc., ways we were taught to be, ways we were told to be. Those kinds of things are corded to the left diagonal from that chakra, and on the right side are the father frequencies that are the directives and the injunctions, etc., that may or may not be welcome. So just becoming aware of the fact that those cordings do come in here and they influence, we realize that we have access to influence over all time and space, which, you know, kind of our new perspective is that it's really the unification of all and the oneness right now. So we have access to all of the past lives, relationships, et cetera, that have been impacting us. And we have the recognition that we can regulate what comes in by choice through the backside. And as we regulate it through the backside and clean up the conduit in between, then that which we speak becomes more refined and in alignment with that which we are. And this is a beautiful symbiotic relationship that will continue on and on. So let's go ahead now and allow ourselves to let the conduit begin to pierce itself through the backside and open up between the front side chakra and the backside. Again, this is a movement from behind to allow the energy to move through and to open and express itself through the front side chakra. Behind the throat there lives a point where the cosmos channels and anoints. to breathe me into life all that I am, where I can clear the ancient threads that weave a past inside my head to free and manifest all that I am. Zion block, I start to speak. I call the beauty from within me to create the world I dream of and desire. Oh, I am I. This is where we reclaim the essence of how we are in the world and how we put it out. It's a very, very powerful point where we do the separation of the cords here. I had intended it tonight to actually work with the cords and cut them, but it looks like something we're going to begin to do next week. So I'm going to spend less time in the beginning part and more into the other activities. And finally, let's go ahead and do the command, the thought forms. We'll go ahead and get this one going under the speak of the throat chakra back. Let's say it together. I command that all thought forms, energies, illusions, devices, or other forms that have been created with or without my permission that would interfere, distort, or otherwise compromise communication between any part of my being on all levels of consciousness be transmuted into unconditional love and used only in the divine expression of creative love. I proclaim my divine perfection. I claim my freedom to communicate with all levels of my being and with all of creation, and so it is, and so it is, and so it is. Wow. So this one feels a little bit different. It feels more refined. It feels a bit more gentle. Because when we start to move away from the lower chakras where so much of life debris has been held and contained, we can understand the releases that were occurring last week. This week there's a gentleness about it, a sense of being able to create relationship with these parts of ourselves and allow the fullness of us to express itself completely through the design, from the design, through the center of our particular midpoint in the chakras there, and it comes out expressing in the solar plexus, comes out in the love frequency of the heart, and it comes out through the words that we say. There's a lot going on here, and there's a whole lot that we can keep adding to this, but in the respect of the time that we've allowed ourselves, we're going to have to bring this to a conclusion. What we have not done, and I invite you to go back and do, is to work with these particular mantras up here. In the middle, the Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha that calls upon Ganesh to clear the path to our intention. The Om I'm Saraswatiye Swaha, which is a beginning to access and salute and bring in the creative energy of the feminine principle so that any project we start is fruitful and successful from that receptive place and that fertile ground from which we birth it. And then from the Atlantean culture, we have the Cho-Ra-Ko-Fa-Ro, which is basically, you can see its resonance balances the love and the emotional and magnetic energy meridians in your physical body and centers the chakra system itself. Repetition of mantras is what's involved. So as you speak those, you can call those frequencies into place. With the two first mantras, 108 times for 40 days, twice a day, is a typical empowerment that goes on with those. What I'm inviting you to do is between now and next week, and I'll send it with tomorrow morning when I send the call, is to begin to start looking at what it is and you intend to manifest. What are your desires? And now that the heart chakra is functioning from back to front, the true desires that are contained in that childlike essence of who we are can begin to show themselves. So start to make a list of those things you intend that you really would like to be a part, based upon this new frequency that you are. And then we'll start to apply the capacity to actually put these things into motion using the skills, using the information and some of the techniques that we've got already established. the chants were an invocation to the energies that supported each of those chakras. Lady Nada, the Ascended Master, Heros and Aurora, the Elohim, who actually oversee the chakra to make sure it becomes manifest into human form in the heart chakra, and then El Moria through the throat, who is the warrior self that allows things to be sent out in their piercing self to make manifest in the forms of all things. So, at the bottom of the page, you've got some statements that you can say. I invite you to make these a part of your regular vocabulary. I'm a spiritual being. Nothing is as it seems. The past does not determine the present. I must allow receiving to be giving. This moment is fertile ground. And how does it get better than this? How does it get better than this? How does it get better than this? Keep extending the invitation and let the universe support you. Let the universe give you that which we cannot even see we desire yet. Let these things unfold. And use that childlike wonder, that venture self that has been making, that is coming through the backside of the heart, and begin to pay attention. And start look at the moment. Start looking at all the forms that are showing up. Become inquisitive about it and become just really kind of invested in seeing what's coming. Because so often it's the subtle that has the most profound impact, and it's the tool that invites us to make the shift down a different road that contains all that we desire as opposed to walking the path that we're used to. So, well, obviously there's not enough time in this process to do these, or I'm just totally overprepared. And there's so much about this, but I really believe we've got the crux of it. We've established a particular foundation and form. We've worked our way up from the ground, and please continue to use the triangle. Continue to use the sphere that accesses and sends the frequencies to the perineum to keep those lower chakras functioning, and make sure that you keep tending and allowing the free movement of emotion. Everything is temporary, especially in relation to emotion. So remember that, but allow it and let the emotional capacity that we were designed to use sweep through us and cleanse us back into a place of full awareness. And with our own capacity now, with the clear thoughts coming through that solar plexus, we have the capacity to refine how we view our intentions and how we decide how we're going to express them out into the world. Let the love energy from the heart just keep washing through everything. And finally, let the throat be a conduit of clarity as opposed to misinformation. From this point forward, knowing full well that what comes in through the backside is the clean guidance that comes through where you select at the filter point in between, which I didn't talk about, but we'll bring it up next week, that there has to be a filter in between, but the filter is actually based upon the heart, and we're going to look at that as an empowerment for next week. So tomorrow morning, I'll send you the copy of this along with some suggestions. My hunch is that we're not going to have the kinds of movement that we had last time, but that may very well be erroneous. Next week, we look into the third eye, begin to opening up the front and back of the third eye, the crown, and then finally access the soul star. And actually, at that point, when we go ahead and make connection with soul star, then we can run the pranic tube, because it is a linking point between the heavens and the earth. And so that's why we didn't get to it tonight. I apologize for going over a little bit here. We went 808, so we have a 16, we have a 7. That's a good number. So I'll stay on for any comments, questions, etc. Otherwise, let's just go ahead and put all this into action. And please know that we've did a lot of powerful things tonight that are already in motion. And pay attention and be excited in your dream world about what's going to unfold, because your inner self has had a lot of doors open and a lot of keys and doors unlocked. So information is going to start showing. And the beauty of it all is that it keeps showing up for us in the way that is most relevant for each of us. And that's the beauty of it. So, woohoo! Thank you so much for being a part of tonight. Calling El Moria, spirited warrior, guiding the leaders to do what is right, protecting the sacred. On the first ray he flies, enlightened and royal, Walk with me into the light. You are the master of devotion. I call upon you, bring me peace. In the service of the Christ light, give the gift of joy I seek. Bring me clarity of vision. Through the Christ eyes let me see. Now cleanse a stream of blind religion. Flood the peace and joy through me. Lady Nada, Lady Nada, Lady Nada. Hear, O Sandor Aura, Elohim of heart space, infuse me with compassion and love. Hear, O Sandor Aura, reunite the twin flame, help me live the what I'm made of. Such a sweet thing in everything, dwelling in this heart that I am. Omnipresence, the holy presence, through the pink and yellow ray, always nurture me with divine love. So we've called those frequencies in here at the end of the call, and they will go ahead and infuse the vibration that is being sent out to each of us who participated in this particular call. The root, the sacral, solar plexus, the heart, the throat, all reawakened to work in conjunction with one another to support our experience of the magnificence of these times and of our own design. And we call it forth, and it is so, and so it is, and tonight we are done. Oh, amen.